I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Always make me feel like Beavis.
Well, it's either Beavis or Butthead, because I was in a grungy kind of mood when I picked the music for this show.
It would appear so.
And it don't get any better than STP.
Oh, hell no.
So.
Well, I was slightly fuzzy. Now the fuzz is in my ears from the fuse box.
You even put the headphones on for that one.
Hell yeah. Whoops, yep.
On the grunge line, Ray Guarino with his XO wingman, Joe D. Motormouth Radio, folks. Call in, get into fun, 516-572-7440. We're kind of free-forming it today because we didn't know if we were going to be on the air until a short while ago.
Yeah, right. You know, somebody, you know, I'm glad they found the plug they kicked out of the wall.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it?
You know, it you never know. One stupid wire, one spilled Pepsi Cola on the wrong circuit board, and thing you know, it's dead silence.
Right.
Which, on the radio, is not necessarily golden.
No, it's never a good thing. That's called dead air, and that's what we try not to do. In fact, we've been playing around with our headmaster in charge, our compadre and our radio papa, Chris Switzer.
Yes.
Because we were speaking a little while ago, and he was commenting on how he isn't seeing any dead space in between, like, the promos and the commercials. And I said, look, I'm doing what you did. I'm emulating what the master did. I'm keeping it tight and right.
We tried to be good students. So, we tried to keep the dead air only between our ears, right?
Definitely. And it was just like
definitely a test pad in my head.
Yeah, just when that lead break came in, I mean, we kind of almost glanced at each other a little bit, because it's like kind of what the bass player and the drummer do, and you kind of come in exactly at the same time.
That's the job.
That's how you do it, right? So
somebody's got to be the timekeeper, and it usually falls to guys like us, right?
Right. We do have an event today. We're going to be heading over to the Autoseum, our good old friends.
Yeah, they got an open house, huh? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I asked Mike yesterday why, and he said, well, you know, it was on the schedule. They had them planned, so we're going to do it. And I said, okay, well, we'll show up and say hi.
Yeah, yeah. Not to mention see some cool cars. Like, I know yesterday you showed. I love the way you messed with me. You showed me a picture of the Back to the Future cars. Says, hey, you want to fix the wiring on this? I'm like, there's not enough coffee.
That's right. And I made sure I got a close-up of, like, the capacitor bank, too, so it was just, you know.
Exactly. My capacitor tester is fluxed.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, once that comes out of the shop, we'll see about fixing that thing.
And that's why, because down at the Celebrity Chase Collision at Oceanside, they had an open house all week, and they brought down the DeLorean, and they brought down the Scooby-Doo van. And I tell you something.
Ruh-roh.
You know, I was down there yesterday doing some work on my own car and helping Mike with his Crown Vic. And people just, it's funny, you know. You see it in Queens, because it happens just in Queens, just for the hell of happening. But people are driving by, and you see a guy hanging out the window with the cell phone, taking a picture, and people are, like, cutting into the curb. They want to see people walk in, and it's...
Yeah, we had a 56 Caddy hanging out right in the corner of the shop, you know, right by the apron.
Right.
And, you know, people are like, hey, what is that? Well, it says Cadillac on the hood and letters about 6 feet high, you know.
Right.
It's one of them old, like, tanker Cadillacs from the 50s. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This thing's got to be 20 foot long and weighs about 900 tons. And
That's good for to put in a driveway, a space in Queens somewhere. That's always, I'm sure there's plenty of space.
Hell, that's somebody, you could have a two families living in that thing.
I know. Yeah,
good thing it's only there for a short term, like an oil change or something like that, thankfully.
Exactly.
They didn't want me to troubleshoot anything on it. I'm like, good!
Yeah.
Because I have enough fun. One more would have probably sent me over the edge.
So. Speaking of going over the edge, Joe,
mm-hmm.
Do I see what I think I'm seeing?
What are you seeing? Oh, the flashy thing.
Yeah.
See, of course, I blinked for a minute.
We're going over the edge. Let's blink it.
Let's rock.
Let's see who's on the line with the motor mouths and say, hi, you're on with Ray and Joe.
And you're on with the bunk. Good morning, guys. How are you this bright, sunny morning?
Yo, I'm hungover. Take it easy, right?
I'm hungover every day. Every night is Friday. Every day is Saturday. That's one thing to look forward to when you retire.
Right.
The only bad thing is that you're a lot closer to the box, so you don't have any good days left.
Oh, so thank you for that. Thank you for that cheerful thought.
Well, like my chiropractor, says, on the football field of life, there's more yards behind me than there are in front of me.
You hit that right on the head.
Ugh.
So make every drink count.
Yeah, right.
Taking it that way. Well, I'm not going to hold you long because I got a big car job coming in the garage.
Uh-oh.
And I want to go over part three of what we were talking about, the joy of owning an old car.
Right.
So if you remember way back in the beginning of time, that the first part one was the search, where you went looking for that particular old car, the one you had to have, that you had with your as a kid, and you're going to restore it and bring it back to life. Then part two was the anticipation until the car finally arrives. Now you have the car. So now we're up to part three. Are you ready?
Don't let that stop you. Bring it on.
Okay,
you're ready. And phase three is called The Money Pit Gets Deeper. So far you have not started any work on your treasure, and you're already over budget, and the spouse has been out to dinner quite a few times. Now you look at the many pages of things to do and try to prioritize into some sort of a timeline. After looking at the list and making a survey of your garage, you realize you need a few things. Right? You visit your friend, and you look at his garage. You'll need many things, the most important being a drip pan or two or three. After a trip to the supply house, you take the spouse out for dinner again. Starting into the disassembly of the car, you find you need more muscle than nature gave you. Back to the pusher's garage and a new list of necessary accessories. You buy an air compressor, an air ratchet, an impact gun, and impact sockets. You notice she has a parts washer, so you might as well buy one of those, too. When the compressor arrives, you discover you need a 240 outlet, so an electrical contractor has to come in and install new wiring, and then you have to take the spouse out for dinner again. How are we doing so far?
Keep going.
You bring it.
Okay. You think you're set. Soon you find you're missing a few essential tools. Back to the supply house for wrenches and sockets in SAE, metric, and Wentworth sizes. In addition, you need another tool chest to hold your growing collection. Having so many tools, you now need to sort by type and size and have some sort of order established. Wrenches and sockets are easy, but screwdrivers and pliers are hard because they're not marked SAE metric. Once again, take the wife out for dinner. One thing which is generic to all cars is once they come apart, they take up three or four times the space they did when they were assembled. Storage becomes an issue. The spouse must park her car in the garage, so what do? You have three choices. Store everything in the backyard, under a tarp, or build a shed, or rent a storage unit. Being over budget and a frequent guest at the dinner house, you opt for option ones. As things seem to be going well, you have a visit from the city official in charge of code compliance, and you have 1 week to clear the junk out of your yard. After somewhat heated discussion as to what junk is, the edict becomes 48 hours. The next day, the instant shed appears and is placed in an appropriate place. Now it is not dinner, but a weekend at a spa and the new kitchen appliances. Your bargain purchase is now approaching the national debt, but you are hooked. Next week, the wonderful world of finding replacement parts and specialty craftsmen. So that's okay. Where we're at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably should just opt for like either a larger house or an extension, because A, you're going to need the room for the car, and B, if you're taking your wife out that much, she must be really fat by now.
And the other thing I noticed...
Most when they hit their 50s and 60s, They tend to grow a little bit, both in size and mouth. I know my wife's right behind me, so I'm going to get smacked any minute.
The other thing I noticed about that list
is... Did I just hear something cock?
Don't forget, guns are legal out here. So, you know, if you don't hear from me in a couple of weeks, you'll understand why. Unfortunately, it's a small caliber, so the hole will be relatively small, right? So it's less blood splatter. So you got to look at it that way.
All right, Brock.
You know, when we bought the house here, we came out here, we had two conditions, right? We both have to agree. She gets the house, but I got to agree on the garage. So she's not allowed in the garage, I'm not allowed in the house. So
all right, well, get out to that garage and start doing your work. I know you're going to be a busy guy today.
Yeah, today's going to be fun. We got a bunch of the guys coming over from the museum, so we have what is known as garage parties. So like a half hour, 40-minute job turns into about 2 6-packs, maybe a case or two, and a couple of pizzas.
All right.
So that's the plan for today, and
we'll
that's part
of the
old car syndrome. Get the old guys out of the house.
All right.
Sounds
go
good.
To it. We got a show to do. See, we'll catch on the
show. Okay, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care, Brian.
Bye. All righty, that was our update from the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And you know,
truly wild.
I did catch part of what he said in that list, and what impressed me was that it almost assumes that the guy who's doing this is starting from scratch.
Right, right.
Because I know, like, I don't have to go and buy, maybe I'm going to go buy a specialty tool, but I don't have to certainly buy my
I was going to say,
tools.
You know what, I think, like, Home Depot or Lowe's was probably jamming money into his back pocket as he was reading that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not for nothing, Craftsman, Husky, somebody was like, here, Bronk, take some, talk about buying tools some more, yeah.
Yeah, again, you think he'd spread some of that our way so we could get a wrench or a screwdriver out of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
no.
Maybe a pry bar.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, or an ejector seat, something. I don't know.
Nail gun.
Even a fire extinguisher. I don't know. So,
you are truly evil today, aren't you?
Yeah, it's one of those days. It's been a heck of a weekend. I've been tied. I've been doing a lot of stuff personally, and with the family. I've been pulled 9 different ways. Like I said yesterday, after work, went over to the shop and did some stuff there. I wanted to talk about that because we did do the effector repair on Mike's Crown Vic.
The one that we were like, okay, it's either the wiring or the ECM. Let's see if it's the wiring first.
And I know you were going to come down to take a look at that.
I'm out on, yeah. Except my boss, you can't leave now. No, you see, this Nissan with the lean condition, I'm like, okay, screw it. Bring me another car. What the hell? And, by the time I got done at the shop, it was like past my bingo point because I had to go out it was my anniversary yesterday, which I remembered.
Right.
I'm giving myself points for that. And I actually got home in time to get cleaned up, get dressed, go out to dinner, and remain awake until the trip home.
My bets were kind of against you on that one. I thought you'd be asleep.
I was like mens astunat by like the last, by the time the check came. So
right.
Thank God my wife is an excellent driver.
Yep. Well, that was the thing. I had told Mike, that I would help him out with this thing. Yeah, and happy anniversary. It's a great occasion. I mean, we're all up there in the double digits, so it's kind of like a badge of honor at some point.
Mm.
Like, hey, I made it this far.
See?
I just say, yeah.
And she ain't killed me yet.
I'm too stubborn to just, do anything else, but whatever. with this repair, I said to Mike, at some point, I said, Joe's busy. And I said, I wonder if he's in the shop in Queens or in the one in Nassau. So I said, let me ask him. And that's what I did. And you said you were at the further one. I was like, it doesn't pay for him at this point to come this far.
Right.
And then I started looking at
I still want to see that place.
So I was working on my car, and I said, listen, start, his car's in the next bay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, get it ready, pull the connectors out, get things where we can see them, prep the job for me. I said, and then I'll come and I'll give you my eyeballs.
You went into teacher mode, didn't you?
Well, kind of, yeah. And once I saw what we had to do, I said, it's not even really worth bringing Joe down for this, because it was really not, it was a straight up, cut two wires, splice in another wire, and it was an easy deal.
Cool.
So if you were more available or had more time, I would say absolutely come on down and hang out.
Oh, I just wanted to do the hang with you guys.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. But given the situation, it really wasn't worth it. So we did it. I mean, we did the repair, and even with the teaching, and we were going through how to correctly cut wires. Now, I know a lot of guys, like Joe, would cut a wire if they had a wire going into a terminal and they were going to cut it. They'd cut it right at the terminal.
Right.
So there's no chance of ever connecting anything to it
ever again.
So we discussed, let's leave 2-3 inches so we have work room. And that was a matter of, okay, how do you make an effective mechanical splice on a pair of wires?
Right.
Then how do you, we opted to solder the wires.
Never a bad choice.
So it was okay, let's talk about soldering and how to best do that repair. And of course, put the shrink tubing on the wire first, because we've all done. I mean, if you
ask us how we know that.
You know, if you screw up the first one, you're still okay, because you can slide
it over the other end. Yeah, exactly. Right. It just has a little bit of a longer trip there.
Right. But if you do them both,
yeah.
So then there's that shrink tape that you could actually buy.
They have a lot of really good electrical between terminals and shrink tubing, and they have liquid tape too.
Right.
I mean, there's a variety of stuff that you could do these days to make nice, neat repairs. There's no more need for scotch tape, bubble gum, that stuff you wrap around when you got a cut, band-aids, gauze, and I see a lot of that on some of these older vehicles. That 56 Ford I have in the UD is just crawling with, electrical, oh, my God. I just want to walk over to the car every time with a fire extinguisher, even though I don't plan on doing any electrical work to this particular car. It's just, every time you power up the battery, it's like, what's going to go poof?
Right.
But, yeah, if you make use of this stuff here, there's no reason why even somebody with, a minimal amount of skills can't do a pretty decent job with just a little bit of concentration.
Well, I'll tell you what. Concentrate on this. Drop detune. Get that fender ready to go.
Okay.
Crank up the Ampeg. Let your hair down. Motor Mouth Radio is going to take a first break. Let's go and see what's happening.
Yeah. Call or wait a couple of minutes. I see the phone flashing.
Yeah.
So let's hang back a little bit. And so let's get this done. We got to take care of business. Okay. So call back in a bit.
Just listen to this.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Opa! Yasu!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
And we're back.
Yeah, we know you want what's on our minds. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., the forces of the universe as far as automotive radio are concerned here in Long Island. And we'll do our best to accommodate you in all of your concerns, car questions, and gripes.
We'll do our best. You do your worst.
Exactly.
So and whoever was calling right before the break, call them back now, because we had to take care of business. But
right. We
do want to hear from you, so bring it on.
Give us a call, 516-572-7440. And
here there you go.
So we'll get back to this, and we'll push this and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, this is Jonathan from Manhattan.
Hey, Jonathan, what's happening?
Listen, I have an Oldsmobile Dynamic 88.
Right.
1966.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Listen here, this car has no seat belts, and I have out-of-state plates. I can't be pulled over, could I?
No. You're fine.
The car. If the car passes inspection or whatever,
yes, it does.
Whatever
but it
standard.
Came without seat belts.
Right, right. Yeah. As long as the car meets the standards of whatever state you're registered in, they really can't say
it
nothing
does.
To you.
I get my sticker every year.
All right, that's cool.
I used to remember this. I know my Pontiac is a '65, and it does have lap belts. I think they were optional in '65. I'm trying to remember, Joe, what year they became
67.
Federally mandated. It might have been '67. Yeah.
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 Okay. So, yeah, you're fine, Jonathan. Don't worry about it. You're good.
All right. I love your show, by the way. You know, I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Oh, thank you very much.
Much appreciated, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. So long. I would have liked to talk to him about that car a little more.
Yeah, 66 Dynamic 88. That was like a full-size car.
Yes, it was.
And yeah, it probably had some one of them rocket motors in it, you know, like a three. One of the things that like 394s.
Right.
I'm not up on my mid-60s Oldsmobile history unless you're talking about like 442s or something. But
right. That's which was actually 65.
Yeah, which I mean, those are great cruises, no matter what. A car like that, definitely something to take out to the beach or like, you know, throw the kids in there, go out for ice cream or something like that.
The thing I'm wondering, like, Jonathan's in this city. I wonder if he, you know, if he parks it there or if he parks it somewhere else.
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, whatever. But to get back to what we were talking about with this wiring harness, Joe, I know you want to touch upon one of the things I asked you. Once Mike and I cut the wire to isolate it, I did a continuity test, and the wire had...
Yeah, you shot me a text about that, yeah.
Yeah. Tori just said the car probably has a 425 in it. And we determined that the wire did have good continuity. And by good continuity, when I do a test, you can tell on the meter if you have, like, sketchy continuity, if you got, like, you know, a bad connection.
It does a little hoochie-coo, yeah.
Even if your lead isn't on a pin or on something correctly, you can see it on the meter.
Right.
But I had good, strong, solid continuity, and then on your recommendation, it was like,
change it. Over, because sometimes what happens is, you know, even a fairly thin gauge wire, like that was like 18 to 20 gauge wire, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, that there's still like 20, 30 strands inside the insulation there, you know, that make up the bundle that transmit the electricity from one end to the other. And
right.
This particular case, it would have been a ground. You could have like half of those strands
right
there, which would show you good continuity, you know, like, you know, like 1 ohm, a half an ohm or something like that. Something very, you know, something to say, oh, that's good. But now you put it under a load.
Exactly.
And now it can't carry the current that it's being asked for, in this case, to drive the EVAP solenoid.
That's what happens to me after a night out.
Yeah, you know, you can't carry the load.
You get me loaded, and that's it. I ain't driving nothing like I drove it before. Sometimes it's better.
At that point, that's why you need the seat belts in the passenger seat.
Just to back up, have you ever been in a position many, many, many years ago, of course.
Of course.
Which I know I have been, where you drive your car all the time, you're like, it's getting a little... Not the same, it's not as crisp, it's not as fast. But then you go out one night with the guys, and then you're driving home like, God, this car is great, oh my God, because you're throttling the crap out of it.
Yeah, that's basically the automotive equivalent of, I love you, man.
Exactly.
I love you, you're great, you get me to work, you know, you get me to the store.
Right.
You are such a great car, man, I love you.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, you get home and the thing's idling like a funny car, and it's got smoke coming out the back and whatever, but I love you, car.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right, though. In certain conditions, though, I don't know about you, but I'm attached to my family's vehicles. I mean,
you're right.
I don't own anything that's like less than 10 years old outside of the one car that I lease.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everything else is ancient because I can't get rid of it. I'm like, I'm a four-wheel hoarder. What can I tell you?
I'm actually thinking now that I'm getting close to the point of maybe swapping the Mazda out for another vehicle. And I've been looking at that Toyota FJ. I really like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my wife is saying, well, why don't you lease something? I'm like, I don't know what I would, you know, there's nothing really out there that's, You know, I'm not spending $500 or more a month. Forget that. That
right,
just ain't happening.
Right. Well, that's what happens to leasing pounds you. But then again, depreciation pounds you too. So pretty much a new car, unless you're going to hang on to it, expect to get pounded.
Right, right. So anyway, back to the wiring thing, and we were talking about the continuity. That's what I was going to say, what you could do with a wire, and we may do this. I want to pull this old wire out of the harness and put it on the test on a bench.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before the show,
mm-hmm.
And you had the best idea is to use what as a diagnostic?
Twizzlers?
No.
Sorry, I was thinking about candy.
That was for our...
Besides, that was a green wire, so that's not going to really work.
Right.
So, basically, what we're going to do is light it up. We're going to power it up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to check it with, say, an infrared camera.
Yes.
To see if there was nice, even current flow across it or if there was any dark spots or light spots, you know what I mean? A lot of times what happens is wires fail on the load. I mean, one of the infrared camera is just a fairly recent development. I mean, for years we tried all different stuff. I mean, the way I was taught was like if you put an ohmmeter across a starter cable, you're going to see, like, you know, practically nothing.
Right.
Take speaker wire, same length, and you go across it with an ohmmeter, you're going to see pretty much the same reading.
Right.
Which one would you rather crank your engine with?
Well, correct.
Yeah, and so any, it's carrying the load, yeah.
Now, any wire or any paperclip, you know, you should see zero resistance.
One of my favorite diagnostic tools. That was my first scanner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You should see zero resistance, which means that medium is passing the current.
Yeah, all them electrons are running back and forth in unison. It's like the New York City Marathon there. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. Now, you know, it's this stupid little not stupid, but it's this age old little formula called Ohm's law.
Yeah,
you know, V equals IR, and you can manipulate that any way you want to get to solve for any three of those variables.
Yeah, you got that little pie there. You cover one thing with your finger, and
you got voltage, current, and resistance, and they're all playing. And any change to one of them affects
the others. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you need to know. That's what I've seen a lot of guys in shops, and not to their discredit necessarily, but guys who didn't have formal training, they don't have that. They don't have any basis in electrical repair other than take it out, put it in a new one, call a parts guy.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and what happens is that, you know, some of that stuff does take more time than your typical than your typical swaptronics, as we refer to it.
I like that.
So what happens is that if you learn how to do some of the basic steps, you know, most of that stuff you can knock off inside of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now you feel a lot better about putting that alternator in or that starter in. Or
the problem becomes many times is getting to where you want to hook up your test lead. Sometimes that stuff. Now, you know, on a test bench, everything is right there. But in real world, under the hood of a car,
you're sticking your hand in places that the human hand wasn't meant to stick. And usually there's something, ask me how I know this, usually there's something poking up when you've got your body in that place that's poking you in another spot as you try to reach it. So,
exactly.
You know, and in that regard there, you got to be careful. But that's why they make jumper wires. And that's also where studying a schematic and finding a good place to test things comes in handy.
You know, one of the things I was talking to Mike about before we did the start of the repair was, I said to him, listen, what we may want to do is back probe and take a reading. And I explained back probing is simply putting your meter into a harness or into a connector behind where the actual connection is made.
And, yeah, and stab it. Yeah, yeah, stab it.
And then I showed him how, you know, with the meter, you could one of the preferred methods that's still okayed is to actually pierce the insulation of a wire and take a reading.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of that. Mm-hmm. But certain times you just have to do it.
There are some car companies that will come looking for you with black helicopters if you do that.
Usually I get paramedics because you're holding the wire and you're holding this thing and trying to pierce it and you always slip off. And yeah, it's your left index finger that gets the hole in it.
I'm trying to look because yesterday I actually managed to back probe through my fingernail. And it was great. It was gushing blood for a while. I mean, I actually went through the freaking nail. It's unbelievable.
Wow. You see, humans, we have fairly, well, high resistance in some parts, but we have good capacitance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I figured
that's how come you can push a smartphone and do all that stuff with your fingers. It's capacitance.
I had the capacity to know that, but I couldn't think of it when you said it there.
Right, right. So I explained to him how, you know, with the standard meter leads, it's hard to do because they look very small to the untrained eye, but in the back probe world, they might as well be foam poles.
Yeah.
So I said to him, look, I'm going to get you a set of the little Fluke back probe pins.
Yeah.
And then this way, you know, you can slide that in into a connector.
Another alternative, depending on what kind of, what do you have on the end of your meter leads, is if you have alligator clips, a lot of troubleshooters use push pins.
Yes.
But they use, you know, they look like T's.
Yeah, T-pin. Right.
Yeah, and they come in different sizes and whatnot. And you could back probe with those, and you could use your alligator clip on there, and you could kind of rig them up in any kind of configuration you want. I mean, I know I have, like, a collection of different back probes and whatever, but that's what I do. But
you do, yeah.
You know, for the person who back probes, like, say, twice a year, it doesn't pay to get all those big selection there.
Go raid your wife / mother / sister / grandmother's sewing box.
Mm.
You'll find some cool stuff in there that you can use.
Oh yeah, you could take needles too and put a little end on them, or what, you know, a little bend on the end, so that way the grabs them.
You know, in a pinch, I've taken a paper clip.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, file down the end to be a little smaller.
I don't think I've actually used a paper clip to hold papers together for a while now.
Okay.
It's when they get staplers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, screw it. It ain't gonna this way. It's not coming apart, you know?
You could take a staple, open it up. Now it's a probe. I mean, you can really use almost anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a matter of knowing how much damage you may do by back probing or wire piercing.
Right.
By the way, wire piercing, a lot of guys, what they'll do is they'll take a dab of clear silicone. They make that liquid tape stuff. You know what I mean? Because one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to leave the wire exposed.
Right.
Because then the green grunge of death comes in there. Maybe not now, maybe not next week, but in a year or two.
Exactly.
And then you have high resistance.
Well, we're going to take another break. We have to mention that on this station, you can listen to the Kickstart every Wednesday at 9 p.m. DJ Rocky C brings the 212 straight to you. Oh, I like that. And you can enjoy some of the hottest EDM house and club mixes and help relieve your stress by putting a smile on your face. It's not the stuff I listen to. You know why, Joe? Because this is the stuff I listen to, and we will be back with more of this after we take this break on Motormouth Radio.
Break it down.
Here we go.
WHPC reminds you that smoking causes immediate damage to your body, which can lead to cancer, heart disease, smoke, asthma, and respiratory diseases such as emphysema and chronic bronchitis.
If you've tried to quit before and it didn't work, try again.
If you or someone you know wants free help, visit cdc.gov/tips or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Yeah, you should see the hair banging in the studio, the head banging. Things are flying around here all over the place on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, where you can catch me, Ray Guarino, and Joe D, my XO wingman, in the studio live, where we're talking
back
about
back probe manufacturer.
We are talking about all things back probing and whatnot. And let's go back to the phones and say, hi, flashing phone, you're on with the Motormouths. Yep. Yes, flashing phone, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, yeah. How you doing, Ray? Steve from Georgia.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Joe?
All right, man.
I just had a fast no sticker for me story.
Oh, cool. I love those. Those are the best. Those are my bread and butter, man.
Do you mean the infamous
no sticker for you?
That's the one, huh? Okay.
I love that.
Actually, short and sweet, in the great state of Georgia, there's no sticker for me ever on any of my vehicles. We have no inspection.
Oh, that's great.
So, at least sticker for me for the rest of my life if I stay here.
That is very cool, because let's face it, that yearly
you do have to get an emission test yearly.
That's
an emission test? Yikes!
That's like a schmog test. That's also, you know, what's always really worried me when I go down south, because I know all these people driving around next to me don't have to have their cars checked for safety.
Right.
Yeah, and I was warned, don't buy a used car down here, because they've never been inspected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's probably stuff falling off left, right, and center, you know. Yeah. As long as it runs.
You go to the guy with the plaid
jacket
on, you know. Yeah,
right.
Plaid jacket.
Wow.
Very good.
Oh,
and also, Ray, you were talking about wiring there and those needles and stuff.
Yeah.
I use, because I retired from the school system, in biology class, they use those frog take-aparters.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work good, wiring. Yeah.
I didn't know you were in the school system. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I was a maintenance man for many years in the public schools.
Great.
Several different
excellent.
keeping our hallways glossy and slippery.
Nice. And not to mention some pretty cool lab equipment, too.
Yeah, I saw those frog things. I said, I need these, yeah.
Yeah.
The K75, I had a, Ray, do you ever have trouble with this on your bike? The starter button, after 30 years, is getting hard to push. And I said, I don't want to break it. I looked online, a lot of them snap off and get brittle and get old.
Uh-huh.
And you got to buy the whole control on the right side.
Yeah, figures.
And you can't even get it anymore. It's like a big hassle. So I just put a Home Depot doorbell switch, like, in parallel. I found those two wires running down the neck right outside. I needed to take the tank off.
Yeah, yeah.
And stabbed the frog poker through them, and the bike started. I said, nice. Oh, that's the two wires.
Yeah.
That works. And definitely works.
Did you try Reeves?
I have the other one will work once in a while, the one in the bike.
No, what I was going to say is Recycle BMW is a site online. They sell used, like, junk, trash BMW motorcycle parts.
I know. Just figuring mine's been out of the sunlight. It's been taken care of for 30 years, and it's going.
Okay.
Basically, you got to press it harder and harder, and eventually that orange knob is going to just fall apart.
Okay, yeah. No, I haven't had that problem with mine, no, but point taken.
It seems to happen worse as it gets hotter. And then I actually read a guy online saying, yeah, pour cold water on it. I don't want to be pouring cold, being stuck somewhere 100 miles from my house. I could put cold water on a thing.
I'd have a can of, like, freeze spray, circuit cooler.
Freeze spray. The button warms up and gets harder. The contacts, you could take it apart, and there's a liability of breaking it, taking it apart. It was just a press-together thing. You can't really play with too much.
Knowing BMWs, unlike the Harley that I had, and Harley-Davidson's, the starter button would burn out every year, especially if you replaced it with an aftermarket, because it pulled current through the switch, like a GM headlight switch in the 60s.
Right.
Stupid. The later models, they used a relay, so the relay provided the current, and the button was just a trigger. So I rewired that bike with a relay, so that it never burned out a switch. So I would just, and I know BMW uses a starter relay. So
yeah, we had the relay. Under the tank.
Switches fail. They do. It's a momentary switch.
It's a mechanical thing. It's bound to wear out or something.
And there's no kickstarter, so you got to use it.
And another interesting point on the other older bike with the carburetors, the R90, I was wondering why it ran so good here. And I forgot. Over the winter in Long Island before I moved, I rebuilt the carburetors, and I guess you call them the jet needles.
Well, there's a needle and seat, and there's a jet. There's two separate components, yeah.
Yeah, the jet. Yeah, you know, the needle that goes into the hole, the jet, I guess.
Okay. Yeah,
the needle has three notches on it, like, for positioning.
Right.
I moved it up out.
That richens it.
To richen it because I had that pinging problem, so that lean, pinging, and heat problem.
Uh-huh.
So when I put them back together and drove it down here, it's nothing to do with this climate. It's because I'm running richer. Now I can see. I'm getting, like, 5-10 miles a gallon less. It's getting in like 35 miles a gallon instead of 45.
Yeah, but if it's running...
It's running beautiful. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm sacrificing mileage now, and it's running beautiful.
Now, I think you have a Bing carburetor on that bike, a pair of Bings. Is that what
they are? A pair of Bings, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's it. It's an adjustable jet, adjustable slide, and that's how you do it. You raise it, each notch on a hold off that brings it more out of or into the jet. It's exactly what you did.
So my bike, they give you a big chart when you get the rebuild kit. Mine's supposed to be on position 2. I put it on position 3. I pulled them out a little bit.
Right. Where'd you get the kit from, Steve?
I'm trying to think. I got it online.
One of the local deals, like Bob's or Bob's out down in Delaware.
I actually got it from the Bing company. Bing.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, that's good. You got right from the OEM, which is the best way. You know, that's the best way to do it.
It was pretty reasonable.
That's even more, surprising that it was reasonable, because carburetor kits, like Joe and I both know, first of all, they're getting to be unobtainium to try and get them.
Yeah, they're not easy no more.
And then to try and get a good one is like, oh my God, forget about it. So
it was like 2 years ago I purchased them, and it was about $35. And if you wanted the diaphragms, it was another big deal. It was like $80, but someone had recently did this carburetor. It wasn't bad.
Okay,
my diaphragms looked like they'd been changed. Everything I touched on this old bike, somebody has seen that fixed it already. It was weird.
That's good.
I really didn't know the history of it. Well, I only had it since 14, you know?
But wait a minute. I thought you said that the older gentleman that sold that to you had really taken care of the bike and maintained it, if I remember.
Well, he only had it 7 years, and the bike's 40 years old.
7 years is enough to make it right.
Yeah. And then I...
That's good.
I've been continuing on it, and it's running like a freight train, yeah.
You know, well, now you killed our whole hopes of moving south and having our stuff run better, so you ruined that one for us now.
I know. I thought it was that. I just wanted to correct myself.
Well, we thank you for the correction.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for reporting in.
Good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. That was Steve, formerly from Plainview, now in Georgia.
Yeah. Yes. Made the trek south there.
Which goes to show, yes, even Steve Trek went south, yes, which goes to show that our listeners that move actually still listen to us. So what is that saying?
That means that they really need some counseling. They, you know, they need to let go of things. They must have some type of personality issue over there.
Or Georgia has really crappy radio if he's going to tune into us. I don't know.
I know. Something. You would think by now they would have like something besides like the pork belly hour or the banjo cavalcade or whatever the hell.
Cavalcade of banjo strings.
But that's good that they still listening. Hey, right. You know, come on, the more the merrier, and we get those reports from that. Like, now you know, like, cars from certain states with no sticker.
Right.
Nobody's ever looked at, like, ball joints, brakes.
Oh, I know.
Lights, horns, whatever. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So you got some papers in front of you, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Me with my papers there. I love it. I was thinking, you know, I saw this on Facebook a while back, and actually kind of hit home because somebody said, you know, the way that the post went was, how do you annoy a car guy / mechanic in four words?
Or
it's the beginning of the, of a tirade or a situation to come.
If I can just think, one comes off the top of my head, and I can say if it was you, I know you have those, but if it was you, and it was a Friday, mm-hmm. the shop owner would say to you, "Come in tomorrow morning."
Yes.
Right? So there you go.
Yeah, some of you, you're not going to sleep.
There you go. So what do you got?
Well, let's see. I'll do the other ones first, and I'll do mine. The internet said I get quite a bit of this, shouldn't be too hard.
I know. Don't you love when people say that? Oh, yeah, it should be pretty easy, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because, like, I had a guy come in with a Caddy yesterday, and it had a check engine light, and he did the research, and he knew exactly what it was. Guess what? It wasn't. But the internet said it was, so.
You know, and getting to the point of us New York guys, I know that, you know, when we do the Thursday Night Plane and Traffic Show with guys that are out of the area, the New York sensibility comes through a little bit, and I've actually said this to people. I say, hey, that's not too hard, and I say, no, for me it's not.
Yeah,
you
really.
Know, but I'm going to let you do it and see how well it goes, and then you walk away. You know, so, eh.
Yes.
What else you got?
And then let's see, we got, I'm a mechanic.
No, or I was a mechanic.
I was a
Remember
mechanic, yes. I got a good one about that.
Yeah, I was
that,
a teenager, too.
Yeah, right.
I don't do stupid things anymore, much.
We used to have one of my not immediate uncles, but my head. We used to have, come into my shop, Uncle Rudy Wanacrella.
Yeah.
And Uncle Rudy Wanacrella had a gas station back in the 50s, and mm-hmm. he was up there when it came to, like, Studebakers and package and stuff,
right, right.
But it's like, what do you mean there's no carburetor on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a lot of guys who've been out of the business for a while don't necessarily
time stop
appreciate, yeah.
When they close the door.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, oh, you know, because this stuff every week it changes. Oh, we can do a whole show on this.
Oh yeah.
And then of course this is a little bit of a variation of Sinju is after you change this. Whatever.
Oh yeah, that's right. Definitely a Sinju moment.
Oh yeah. After you, whatever you did, since you put air in my tires, my radio stopped working.
Right.
All right. Is it done yet?
Right.
Okay. Next is the other mechanic said.
Ah.
And then I come up with, why are you here?
That's a good one. Yeah, good retort. Good retort.
Well, that's because, you know, it's like, well, then let him fix it for $25. Leave me alone. All right. And then this is fill in the blank big parts store. Said it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go to Auto Z, yeah. Zoo, retarded.
Perp boys.
Right. And then the next one is, read the instructions, right? And then, here's a good one. It's my wife's car. Or my daughter's car. Or my son's car. Uh-huh. It's like, so, I really don't care if the brakes work.
Right, yeah.
Or it only happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Okay. So is it happening? No. Get out!
Well, intermittent problems are the hardest to diagnose and fix.
Yeah. And it costs too much.
Well, that's always...
Is it my fault that, you know, your blah, blah, blah module is $600? You blew it up. Or it blew up. It's just the car.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, it's... I suppose it's just the way to get to work. It's just the train or the bus, so get out of here.
But the ball joints and the brakes are falling out of it. Isn't it just your life?
Exactly. It's just the car. Will it pass emissions?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Georgia.
As soon as I wave the smoke out of my face here, I'll tell you if it passes. And then that's what I came up with as far as...
That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, and then my favorite four is I have this noise.
Yeah.
Or it only happens on Tuesdays.
Oh, geez, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's Saturday. So, again, why are you here?
Right.
And then my favorite, authored by my bosses over there, just clear the light.
Yeah, just clear the code, right?
Yeah, but it's got... Just clear it.
Right, just clear it.
But just clear it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, if anybody's got some more of these that are great conversation starters,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to be four words. It could be three words. It could be five words.
Yeah.
Call on in, you know, because, like, actually, I think we should put these up on the website.
That's a good idea. Do you have a digital copy that you can email me? Because you printed that and handed it to me.
Yeah, that's because the digital copy is in, I forget which device, but yeah, I do.
All right.
I do. I'll shoot that off to you. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm going back analog, Joe. I am tuning up the drum set. I'm going to take a little, we've done the bass stuff. I'm going to take a trip for myself and kind of...
Go for it.
Limber up. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be back in a minute. Keep it where you got it, and let me fly here.
This is Rita Monte. Would you like to take a trip to romantic Italy with me? Let's go together every Thursday with Profumi d'Italia. You will hear and savor Italy's soul with music from yesterday and today. Learn about Italy's museums, countryside, restaurants, festivals, and wineries. Most of all, you will learn about Italy's history and its people. Thursdays at 5 p.m., experience the essence of Italy on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
That drop D tuning, you got the Ampeg humming, my friend. You got the Ampeg humming. Very nice.
I don't do drop D. The friggin' tuner gear is busted.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's a busted E string. Let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. It's Tom from Massapequa. How you doing?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, I got a question. Joe D, what shop do you work at?
I actually go to a couple different shops. My main guy that I spend most that I go to the most is a place called Perla Auto Repair in Bayside, out of Flushing, over that direction there.
I apologize, but do you have a specialty? Are you an electrical guy? When you go to different shops, you go there.
I'm drivability and electrical.
Drivability and electrical?
Yeah, basically, I never really cut it really well as a regular mechanic because I'm not a hammer swinger. I just didn't have the. If you know what I look like, I'm about like 5'2". And I'm not a big, strong guy, so like doing heavy duty front end work and stuff like that wasn't my forte. But they did find that I fit on the dashboards and I could read,
right?
You know, so
and retain.
So basically, they started giving me electrical work and whatever, and it just kind of blossomed from there. But you, that's the kind of thing I troubleshoot, basically, right? That kind of thing.
Oh, cool. Okay. One of my questions, guys, is I'm wondering what your position is on private shops versus dealers as far as the pros and cons. And I like both. I have a great private guy I use for 30 years. I trust tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like the dealers, in my opinion. I mean, I don't trust them. It's a big thing with trust. However, I think they have knowledge of the vehicle, and that presents.
Well, that's a biggie right there. Okay, first of all, you know, dealers are like any other business. You could have good ones, you could have good, straight up honest ones, and you could have thieving SOBs. I could give you examples of both. Like, I know, one part of my career, I worked at a pretty straight up, pretty stand up Chevy dealer for a long time. And I would also see some of the stuff that came from when I'm in the shops, like they came from dealers, you know what I mean? Because some of it is a matter of integrity, and some of it is a matter of dealer mechanics. Like a GM, when I was there, you got paid 3/10 to troubleshoot a check engine light, 3/10, which is 18 minutes. Okay,
yeah.
Now that's down to like zero. Literally zero. All right, so mechanics in the dealership, if they haven't seen 9 of them fail before in the past month, that, you know, they could do the silver bullet, what I call the red car thing, they just throw a part at it and that's it. They won't really troubleshoot it. If anything's more than about 5-7 years old, it's a dinosaur. They've already gone on to a different model. They don't know it. You might as well beat it in an independent place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Tom, I think you answered your own question, and we all do this because we're all... besides being in the game, so to speak, we're all consumers as well. And I think to have a good relationship with, or some relationship with, a dealer and private shops, it's both. I think you need both.
There are times you need a dealer because they'll have specialized equipment
and tools.
All right, or they might have a warranty or a recall on something that you can only get done by them.
They usually have good coffee and snack bars too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
your local shops have crap.
And you're lucky.
You've had that coffee.
Oh my God, yes.
Mud.
It came out of the last freaking car. The oil changed.
Yes,
but. There is a need for dealer. I feel that they're a necessary evil. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's unless you really find a good stand-up one for your particular brand. I would rather, unless your car is like 2-3, I'm going to say up to 5 years old, you know what I mean, within the warranty period, anything outside of that, you need a good independent shop. Because a good independent shop...
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that's how I've naturally evolved, because I felt whenever I bought a new car... that I wanted to have some sort of relationship with the dealer so they gave me some sort of courtesy or respect if there was a recall.
There's no guarantee of that.
Well, they kind of sort of have to do it. They can't really refuse you, but they can tell you to come back in 2 weeks or whatever, even though, you know, there's tumbleweeds going past the service desk. I'm a big fan of, if the car is within the warranty period, showing up within the prescribed service intervals. Free oil change, tire rotation, whatever. You know what I mean? You show your face. Maybe another one, maybe once a year after that. You know what I'm just saying?
Yep.
Just so your name comes up in the recent list on the computer.
Exactly. And it's funny because I keep my cars a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm also able to maintain my relationship with my local guy who I, you know, really feel a lot of respect for. And
right.
I want to support his business.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the local guys actually give more of a... you see them, they're neighborhood people, you know what I mean? They depend on you coming back, you know what I mean? And if you got a good, knowledgeable guy, you know what I mean? Let's not even talk about honesty, because that's a given. Yeah, you want an honest guy no matter what. Next thing after honesty comes competency, all right? And then sometimes a competent, honest guy will say, look, I don't have the special tool to do this. I cannot... you need a blah, blah, blah module, but I can't program it. You got to go back to the dealer. All right, so not for nothing. Just go back there. I'm not even going to try it. I'm not going to try to mess up 10 other things, which could happen. You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as doing your maintenance or whatever, and your more day-to-day, you know, say check engine light or ABS light for like a wheel speed sensor or an O2 sensor or whatever, that's the guy. That's the guy. You know, if he uses quality parts and he doesn't take you over to Kohl's, hey, cool.
Exactly. Hey, Joe, I'm curious. What was the dealer that you really respected that you worked for years ago?
Bay Chevrolet.
Bay Chevrolet?
Yeah, in Douglaston.
Beautiful.
They're gone. They're gone. The people who bought East, who own East Hill Chevrolet, they bought it. I really don't have much interaction with them at this point, so I don't know one way or the other whether they're good or bad. You know what I mean? Haven't heard much, so. I'm sure they're okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
hey, do either of you guys know Steve? I think it's Lemmerman that does the
auto body, the
painting out of Robert.
Yeah, with Robert Chevrolet. Yes. Well, I actually happen to know the owner of Robert Chevrolet. We've had him on the show a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was a couple of years back. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking to get him back, but no, I've heard that name, Tom, but I can't recall anything else on it.
He's a real artist, and he's a good guy. I grew up with him, and a lot of people respect his work, yeah. So I don't know if he's still at Robert, but he was great for, you know, the auto body and the painting side.
Yeah, what happens is that sometimes, you know, sometimes the dealership environment, they don't pay so good. Matter of fact, I had a guy that worked with me at my present job. He was a troubleshooter in ATEC over at Robert. The guy was great, knew his stuff. And from what I knew, you know, they're a little far away from my, but they had a good rep, too. They actually got stuff done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's another guy named, we call him Jimmy Lincoln out of, the Ford place, Hassett. You know, have you heard about
that,
him?
That sounds about right, Jimmy Lincoln from the Ford place. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a little bit outside of my neighborhood there, you know, you go on, there's always a couple guys in any given, you know, geographic area that know their stuff, and they get a good reputation,
right?
And it's 99 times out of 100 well deserved.
Yeah. Well, guys, nice talking to you.
You too.
The show.
Thanks, Tom.
And do me a favor, when Kim Tracy comes in, could you give her a hug for me? She's one of my favorites.
By all means, we will pass that along.
We'll let her know. Thanks, Tom.
Thank
all righty. Bye bye. Oh, always interesting.
Good to hear from Tom. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's see, there are guys out there that you get a reputation for knowing your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, it's going to be one guy in one neighborhood, another guy in another neighborhood, sure. But they're out there.
Yeah.
Just as sure as there's the guys that don't do so good. Can we fit that in? You think we can squeeze that off real quick?
Let's go back and say hi to Ronald the Motor Mouth.
But talk fast.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Joe?
Got a story that ties into everything here.
Okay, got to make it quick because we're getting to the top of the hour.
Yeah, I had a broken wire that I couldn't trace out, and it was in the steering harness, which you can never get back the way it's supposed to be.
The wire
was for the horn, and Joe, you would have hated me because I just walked across the street to the bicycle shop, got a canned air horn, and duct taped it into the wing window.
Beautiful.
Cool. I like it. Plus, it sounds unique.
Motor Mouth Radio approved, Joe.
You got it.
And then afterwards, I got a clamp-on horn switch because, like I said, I wasn't going to deal with the wire harness. And I wrapped telephone wire, you know, the receiver wire around the column so it would stretch and come back as I turned the wheel.
Of course you
did. Our listeners are known for their ingenuity.
Excellent. If you have pictures of that, send it to us, and we'll put it on the website.
No, that was many years ago.
Oh, well. Well, recreate it and then do it. All right, Joe, we got to run. But
yeah,
right, thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
So long. You know, Joe, there's a rumor going around that next week we're going to be spinning some music.
Yeah. They said, you know what? You do that
have
whole
you
car thing.
Your minds up?
Yeah, we're going to.
I have no mind. Why can you say that?
We're going to do Rob Lennon's Free For All show from 9 to 11.
No,
10
to 12.
Gee, I would have been here early. From 10 to 12 on Sunday morning next week. We're going to do 2 hours. So all the stuff we got to do today that we wanted to play the whole song but couldn't.
Right, right.
Now we can.
Yeah, so they're actually going to make us DJs.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much it's like, oh, okay, push this button. Yeah, you know what?
We'll be platypuses.
I think it's great. Yeah, we'll platypuses. Do they even spin platters and stacks of wax anymore?
I do at home all the time.
All right, yeah, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
So this, you know, the free for all will take on an entirely new meaning.
Oh, it's going to be a riot, literally a riot, a melee. It's going to be because now you and I share a lot of musical taste. That's mm-hmm. going to. That's too late, and we're gonna have to break it out next week. That caller should call back next week or get in touch with us at motormouthradio@ncc.edu. We got to go. It's time to get out of here. Stay tuned for Thunder Road coming up next.
Thunder Road.
See you next week.